Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice, recording at our studio in East County. Today, my very special guests are David Murphy, who is the Executive Director of the International Rescue Committee, and Kathy Anderson, the Executive Director of Survivors of Torture International right here in San Diego. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure being with you.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here today.
But the topic today is we're going to be talking about the impact that President Donald Trump's recent executive order banning the immigration of refugees from around the world is having right here in San Diego. David, can you tell us exactly what the order covers?
So, globally, there are more than 65 million displaced people in the world today. Every year, the United States brings in a number of refugees based upon a presidential determination that's made. For the last several years, the United States has brought in 70,000 refugees. In 2016, the fiscal year, we brought in 85,000. And for 2017, we were going to bring in 110,000 refugees from all around the world. This is done by this presidential determination where it is earmarked for different parts of the world. And so now with this new presidential executive order, it has reduced the total number of refugees from 110,000 down to 50,000. And it has stopped refugee resettlement from the 7 countries immediately. And there will be a 4-month pause on the refugees coming from all around the world. And so, in effect, no refugees will be coming for the next 4 months.
And the 7 countries are predominantly Muslim countries that are on the banned list, including an indefinite ban on Syrian refugees.
Correct. And so the list of the 7 countries are Iraq, Syria, Iran, Libya, Sudan, Somalia, and Yemen.
How is this impacting San Diego? Can you give us an idea of how many refugees San Diego has and how many of those 70,000 that were coming to the United States this year were coming to San Diego before this order took effect?
So the planning figure for 2017 was 110,000 refugees to come to the entire United States. And then here in San Diego County, we have always been a very welcoming city and a welcoming county. And we receive between 3% and 4% of the total population of refugees that come to the United States. And so for this year, we were planning on upwards of 3,500 to 4,000 refugees to come to San Diego this year.
And of course, San Diego has a long tradition, as you've noted, of taking in refugees, starting with the Vietnamese boat people who were airlifted and brought here back in the late 1970s. Many of them have integrated very well into society. They did very well in the schools and starting businesses and so forth.
Absolutely. In the late 70s and early 80s, hundreds of thousands of Vietnamese refugees came to Camp Pendleton. And from there, they went to different parts of the country. They have acclimated in. They are successful businessmen, businesswomen. Their kids go to school, and they are part of the fabric of America today.
The reason that President Trump has given for why he's put this 4-month pause on refugees and maybe indefinitely in the case of Syria is because he's concerned about the possibility of terrorists somehow getting into the country and wants to implement what he calls extreme vetting of all refugees. How extensive is the vetting currently?
So it's really unfortunate that refugees have fallen into this trap. There is such a miscommunication and misperception about refugees. Previously, more than a year ago, refugees enjoyed bipartisan support. And it's only in this last year and a half where that during the political process that refugees have fallen into this political narrative of refugees immigrants, illegal immigrants, illegal migration, Muslim terrorists. And this is actually totally false, and it's a very false narrative. The refugee resettlement process begins overseas, where the U.S. government physically goes out to refugee camps and personally identifies potential refugees for resettlement. We look for the most needy, the most in need of protection, the people that are in most of need of the safety, security, and protection that the United States can afford. There is then a two-year process where U.S. government, Department of Homeland Security staff will physically go to refugee camps, conduct quite a number of in-person interviews, build up a case file. If you pass through these checks, then you go through a number of security vetting processes, background checks, biometrics, upwards of 15 different government databases, including Department of Defense, Department of State, FBI, CIA. If at any time you get dinged on any of these security background checks, you're brought in for either further investigation or you are dropped out of the refugee resettlement program. Once you have completed all of these checks, which again takes more than 2 years, then you are eligible to come to the United States.
Out of the refugees that have been admitted to the United States since the 9/11 terror attacks in 2001, how many of those refugees actually committed an act of terror on U.S. soil?
Zero.
Zero. Is it safe to say that if a terrorist really wanted to get into the United States, they'd probably choose a little easier way than going through a refugee program that takes years and years of vetting?
To come to the United States through the Refugee Resettlement Program, you are the most security-vetted individual to come to the United States. The U.S. brings in millions of people every year through different visa programs, work visas, student visas, where there are no background checks. There is no security vetting. And yet, refugees who go through the most stringent background checks are now being singled out.
Yeah, it seems really unfair in a lot of ways. Now, Kathy, I would like for you to tell us a little bit about what some of these refugees have been through. You're with survivors of torture. Can you give us a handle on how many refugees, what percentage of them that come here have actually endured more than the horrors of war? They've actually been tortured.
Yeah, the latest research is showing that 44% of all refugees admitted into the United States are torture survivors.
Wow.
It appears that there are at least 35,000 torture survivors in San Diego County alone and 1.3 million in the United States who are torture survivors.
Horrific. So it must be really traumatic for someone who's come from around the world, who's endured all of that. They come here. They think they're safe. They maybe want to bring their families here, as so many of them do. And now this order comes down. What are you seeing? What's the human toll of this? How is this impacting the clients that you deal with who've endured torture?
Many of our clients, because of the torture they have suffered, are receiving counseling services, and they are reporting increased anxiety, increased depression. They're asking to see their therapists more frequently now. They are afraid for themselves and for their family members back home.
We have an office in City Heights and El Cajon, and we have been inundated with people coming to our office wondering, what's going to happen to me? I'm a refugee. Refugees that come to the United States are totally legal to come here. They can travel. They can work. After they have been here 1 year, they're eligible for a green card. And after 5 years, they're eligible for citizenship. And we are getting not only refugees, but immigrants and migrants that are coming into our office with fear, not knowing what's going to happen to them. What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to my children? My children go to school. And so it's really creating an area of fear for a lot of people.
Let's talk a little bit about the people who have green cards, who came here as refugees or immigrants and have their green card, which means that they're a legal resident. And yet a lot of these legal residents, students, business people, artists, musicians, got caught overseas and are not being allowed back in now, I understand. What's the latest on that, and how many of the people you talk to are caught up in this green card issue?
So if you are from one of these seven countries and you have a green card and you are in the United States, we recommend that you do not travel back home because at this time it is not clear if you will be allowed back into this country or not.
And I would imagine that's not just back home, but does that include leaving the U.S. at all? If you go to Mexico for the weekend, is there a risk you won't be allowed back across the border?
Correct. Do not leave the United States at all.
Okay. What advice are you giving to refugees who've been here a little longer than that?
So for all refugees, if you have been here 1 year and you have not received your green card yet, please go apply for your green card. If you have been here 5 years and you are eligible for citizenship, we recommend that you go take the classes and apply for citizenship to the United States so that you will become a full citizen of the United States.
Yeah, and interestingly, this was new to me to learn today, was that refugees can apply for citizenship after 5 years, whereas for other immigrants, it's 7 years.
Correct.
Interesting. And only the immigrants that came here lawfully, not the undocumented, who are sort of forced to live in the shadows, even if they've been here for decades, some of them. That's a whole different story. What else would you like our listeners to know about this issue, and what action can listeners take to help if they are concerned about this issue? Kathy or David, I'll let you both weigh in on this, and they're concerned. What can they do?
They can do a couple of things. One is certainly to write letters or phone their congressional representatives, both of our senators, and let them know what they feel and what their thoughts are around this new executive order. They can also go onto our websites, and there are ways to get involved with both organizations. So I think several options, but I also think it needs to be sustained. So we need to continue to advocate for the most vulnerable of the vulnerable, not just once, not just twice, but on an ongoing basis, probably for the foreseeable future.
Okay, and how about you, David?
So in addition to contacting your elected officials, take action. Read up about it. Talk about this with family and friends in your community. Let people know about the realities of what's happening to refugees and immigrants with these new executive orders that are happening.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine you must be seeing people also that are worried about family members that are trapped over there who can't come join them. Are you seeing families torn apart, the actual human consequences of this?
The U.S. has 60,000 individuals in the pipeline that are vetted and ready to come to the United States over the course of this year.
So they've been approved to be refugees to come here, and now they're told they can't.
And many are U.S. ties coming here to San Diego, and now those families will remain split apart indefinitely until who knows what happens.
Yeah, very frightening. And I would imagine many of them are in danger where they are. I mean, what conditions are they living in, the people that are in camps, or are some of them still trapped inside war-torn Syria at this point?
So the refugees will be outside of Syria and either living in a town village or in a refugee camp. Mm-hmm. And trust me, living in a refugee camp is no place to raise a family.
No, it can be very upsetting and certainly not a healthy environment for raising children, you're right. And of course, it's not just Syria and the Middle East, but this is affecting Sudan, Somalia, countries in Africa as well.
And Yemen also.
And Yemen, yes. I want to give those websites for people that wish to get in touch and help out. Survivors of Torture International can be reached at notorture.org. And the International Rescue Committee can be reached at rescue.org/San Diego. And if you didn't catch all of that, you can go to our site at eastcountymagazine.org, and we'll have the information posted there as well. What about the politicians? Should people be contacting their members of Congress, their senators, and letting them know their thoughts?
Absolutely. And don't contact just the Democratic elected officials. Also contact the Republican officials. Let them know the stance of what you feel. That's who our elected officials are. They are there to represent all of us.
If you could give one message to President Trump today, what would you want him to hear?
that this week that we have been living with our clients has been one of the most shameful weeks that we have ever experienced. This week has not represented the American values that all of us were taught in school that we hold dear. And we are greatly concerned for the future of not just our clients, but for our country.
Nobody wants to be a refugee. You are forced to be a refugee. You are forced to flee your home because of the fear of violence. Many refugees have experienced this violence firsthand. They have lost family members. They have lost businesses and jobs. And they have had to close the chapter on their life. They now have a new chapter that can open up to them in the land of opportunity called the United States. The fabric of the United States is built upon refugees and immigrants. We cannot forget that, and we should not abandon people in their greatest hour of need.
Well, I really want to thank both of you for taking the time to join us here today on the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our pleasure.